What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Chris Whittingham will join us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale. One location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. Whitty is an MLS commentator for Apple TV and a commentator and host for CBS Sports Golazo. Whitty is actually on the call for Bay FC hosting Washington Spirit. That game's at Oracle Park this Saturday in the NWSL. That game's on CBS4, by the way, at 4 p.m. Watches broadcast there. Inter Miami, which is what we want to talk to Whitty about. They're coming off a 3-1 victory in MLS action on Saturday. They beat the defending champs, LA Galaxy, who are playing not like the defending champs. Their next MLS game is Saturday at DC United, but that game follows tomorrow's game. Inter Miami playing a quarterfinal match in the League's Cup. They host Tigres from Liga MX at Chase Stadium at 8 p.m. Whitty, appreciate you joining us. And today, Leo Messi, it appears, was on the what was practicing, but away from the team, like by himself. Should Inter Miami, I guess, would they struggle beating Tigres tomorrow without Leo Messi? Like, would it be an insurmountable situation for them without Messi?
I don't know if insurmountable is quite the word, but it definitely, they might not beat Tigres with Messi. That's how good Tigres is. This is a team that over the course of the last 10 years is the most successful team in Mexico in terms of winning league trophies season upon season. They're incredibly well-resourced. They bring in big-name stars from Europe. Some of the ones that MLS don't get, you look at Angel Correa, who leads the line for them, is an absolutely top-level player. André-Pierre Gignac might be one of the greatest players in the history of Liga MX. So this is a really, really stacked team. So I think even if Messi were healthy, this could be a challenge. But it is kind of wild to have watched how, you know, Messi picked up an injury in that last game of League's Cup in the group stage, and then missed a couple games, comes back, has a goal and an assist, looked every bit the wonderful Messi can be, and yet we see him again training off to the side. So there is just this worry that it continues to be a problem, that muscle injury that he picked up in that last game of the League's Cup group stage. So, yeah, I think there would be real concerns that he probably can't play more than 10, 15 minutes, if at all, in this game. And I think that could potentially spell the end of their run in League's Cup, because this Tigres team is really, really good.
Well, Woody, I feel like just given all the noise that's surrounding Inter Miami in this current period of time, even if Messi were to play, it almost seems like the I don't know if distraction is the right word, but with all that's going on around there, it doesn't seem conducive to playing in an important elimination knockout round game against a team like Tigres. You've got Drake Callender, who was officially dealt to Charlotte. I think it was announced today or yesterday. And then there's been this weird public feud between Mascherano and Benjamin Kromoski. And we could start with Drake Callender. He's a guy who we've talked about has single-handedly won Miami a trophy in the past, and they've really struggled in goal this year. What do you make of that decision?
Well, I think in terms of that that calendar thing, I've never really understood it from the beginning of the season, because they didn't really have an active backup plan. Oscar Ustadi has played a ton this season. He's 39 years old. He wasn't really playing much in Mexico or elsewhere before he arrived. And then your third option is Rocco Rios Novo, who's largely been a career backup, who's a young player that came through in Argentina but has been a backup here in the United States. It would make more sense to me. And look, the transfer window is not closed, and they just got some money for Drake Callender if they go and buy another goalkeeper, because I think they need a proper number one to get through what they want to get through in this League's Cup, in the MLS regular season, and, of course, in the playoffs. I don't think their present goalkeeping situation is good enough to get through all those things that they're trying to do, as good as the rest of the team is. I think they need a proper goalkeeper, and I don't think that they have one at the moment. So that is a concern for me. And the calendar thing, you can sort of understand it from one perspective, which is that he was never really good with the ball at his feet, which is one of the things that a lot of modern goalkeepers are measured against. Can you be good with your feet and helping the team in distribution? But the team isn't really that team. If they were playing like Barcelona and kept 65, 70% of the possession, that would make sense. But they're not really that way most of the time. And so I just think for as good as Callender has been in big games, in shot-stopping moments, that they would have figured out a way to make that happen and to keep him around and get him fit again and make him be the starting goalkeeper. Because you go back to Leagues Cup 2023, that's a penalty shootout that goes 12 rounds. He makes one and then saves one. And he has come up with big saves again and again in their quest to last year set the all-time MLS regular season points record. And all these moments, he's come up huge. And so I'm surprised that they're getting off him. And I'm also a little bit surprised by the destination, it being Charlotte.
And I just want to ask you about the Kromoski situation. If you don't know, Benjamin Kromoski, a really good young player for Inter Miami, he comes out and he says to the press, "I don't know sometimes when I show up where I'm going to play, if I'm going to play, and it's hard to develop when that is the case." Mascherano gets asked about it, and he says, "Well, my door's always open. I don't understand why he's taking that public," and kind of throws Kromoski under the bus a little bit. For me, I don't know if this is just like someone who's not experienced enough in these type of situations or if it's dealt with differently, but like from what we know and how coaches talk in the four major sports here in this country, that is they totally blow it off, non-issue, and then they address it behind closed doors. I think it's a really bad look for Mascherano to do that to Kromoski publicly. Maybe Kromoski could have handled it a little differently on his end as well, but I think for Javier Mascherano to react that way and throw his young player under the bus, I don't think that's the best of looks, and I think it kind of speaks a lot to how much control or lack thereof he kind of has over what's happening now.
Yeah, you mentioned the sort of lack of experience. I think it is lack of experience on both ends. I agree with you. I'm surprised that you get handed this story, which could very easily be handled internally, and you decided to kind of put gas on the flames and include him in the team and put him on from the bench. It's kind of a weird mixed messaging, but I think it does lend a little bit of credence to something that a lot of Miami fans have felt throughout the season. I'm not sure it's entirely true about the kind of lack of complexity in the tactical setup under Mascherano if he's really up for this job, because I think obviously as a Miami fan, the expectation is to win the championship. It's meant to be the best team in the league, and it deserves a coach who I think has a little bit more of an actual managerial resume. Now, I think Mascherano has actually done a fairly decent job with this team. I think he's done he's done well to manage some of these difficult situations. He obviously has the ear of all the big stars in the team, namely Messi, but all the other players as well, having connections with DePaul and Busquets and Alba and Suarez and all these guys, I think is a good background to have in the dugout. But I do think if Kromoski's come out and saying that, he's not lying, and he's also playing in a ton of different positions. I think he's played at left back at times. He's played at right back. He came up through the academy as an attacking midfielder, and that requires a measure of nuance to handle that correctly. If obviously, as a young player, you don't quite have that same background, that same all-encompassing knowledge of the field, where I think some more veteran players, you stick them in a different position, and they largely know what they're doing. I don't think you can say the same for a young player. So I can understand why he thinks that. I think it's the coming out and saying that that's a problem. And you can understand how there definitely would be a conversation happening behind the scenes. Maybe you say it to a relative, you say it to a friend, or you tell one of your teammates, "Ah, this is BS, man. I'm not playing in my usual position. This is ridiculous." But he should probably know to not come out and come up against a manager who has obviously the ear of everyone involved in the club. And from Mascherano's standpoint, he has, I think, dialed this to another proportion that is also unnecessary. So I don't think this has been terribly well handled all the way around.
He's there, Mascherano. And by the way, I don't even blame Mascherano. Somebody who almost doesn't play in your squad calls you out publicly. He felt offended. He called him out publicly. But, Witty, he's there. And I don't think it's an indictment on him. Like, I just think it's a fact. He's there because he's boys with Messi. Right? Like, am I wrong about this? I mean, last year with Tata Martino, they literally set a league record for the most points ever. They played well. He coached well. He knew what it took to win an MLS title. He's done it before. And look, they didn't play well against Atlanta, but I don't necessarily think that all the blame should have gone to Tata Martino. Whatever went on behind the scenes there where he ended up leaving, that happened, fine. Mascherano's there because he's boys with Messi. I think that's a fair statement, isn't it?
Yes, I do.
He coached U23. They got bounced in the quarterfinals of the Olympics. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but he's not like this well-established manager who comes with this unbelievable track record as a manager. This is fairly new territory for him overall. He's there because he's friends with Messi, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, this is Messi's team at the end of the day.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And he's on his way in his coaching career. I don't think it's necessarily any logical next step for Mascherano to be the coach of Inter Miami next in his career. As you mentioned, he's coaching the Argentine youth national teams. He didn't do a particularly brilliant job. I think you can say it's definitely a mixed record for him. But I don't think it's necessarily out of the realm of possibility. But yeah, of course, all those personal relationships play a role. I think it's obvious that, you know, from going and getting Rodrigo De Paul, which, by the way, any MLS team would go and do. If you say... you can go get a World Cup winning midfield player. Like, going and getting Messi's friends is not necessarily a bad thing, as you're saying. But I do think that Mascherano has a fair bit to prove as a manager. And I think it probably would be, I don't want to say best, but I think that he has to figure out a way to kind of manage some of these situations and figure out in his coaching career what's the right way to go about this. And I'm not certain that putting fire on, or, you know, adding gas to these flames is necessarily the right way to go about that. So, no, I think that you look at his career, his resume, it would not lend itself to having this job, but once he's in it, he's done a reasonable job. They made the Club World Cup knockout rounds. Yeah. I think he necessarily have too much of a go. I think he's been okay, but I think there are probably fair criticisms, and probably fair criticisms from with even the team, and I think you could probably say this criticism from Kremaski is probably fair. It's only the form in which it's aired for that, sure, is the mistake.
For sure, for sure. And look, he's the only homegrown player that was like put on that pedestal and was, I don't want to say he was shining, but there were some like terrific moments from Kremaski this year.
He got called in the full U.S. men's national team because there was a real recruiting battle between Argentina and the U.S. Argentina wanted him. Mascherano actually was the one who wanted to bring him in to the under-23s to eventually become a full Argentine international. That's what he was thought of as a player and as a prospect. So, no, you're absolutely right. This is a player that was kind of thought to be the jewel of the Inter Miami Academy, this young academy that should be producing players towards the senior team. And he's kind of the first one that has gotten his first big crack at it. Turns out that two defenders have kind of outshone him in terms of Frey and Noah Allen have both played more and have a bigger role to play in the team. But yeah, you know, Kremaski was, when he first came through, I remember all the talk around the club was, this kid's going to be good. He was starting basically every game before Messi arrived.
Hey, we were just spitballing here, Jimmy and I, right before we brought you on. Woody, is Drake Callender, outside of current players right now that are on the team for Inter Miami, obviously Messi, Suarez, Alba, Busquets. Is Drake Callender the greatest Inter Miami player after those guys? Like, I know it sounds ridiculous to say, but like, what's the list? Gonzalo Higuain, who came here to eat empanadas.
Yeah, those 6 months though, man. When he announced his retirement and he got the team single-handedly to the playoffs.
No, Blaise McQueedy.
Matuidi, Leo Campana, yeah. Robbie Robinson, the first round. I don't know.
Just doing guys naming dudes.
Yeah.
No, I literally did this. I love the game. I did it with my brother today because we were talking on the phone and he went to that first game, or the second game that they played against DC United. And we were trying to remember the starting lineup from that first Miami team. It's some great names. And you're right. I mean, this is not a team with a lot of lore. And honestly, Callender is a big part of the current lore as well. Whatever, you know, they have put together in terms of results, I don't think they win the Supporters' Shield without Drake Callender. I don't think they win League's Cup without Drake Callender. Those are the two trophies from the Messi era so far. So, yeah, I think he's right up there in terms of most important figures in club history. And it's also worth noting that he's also a success story for internal development at the club. He was the third goalkeeper when he showed up. And I remember thinking, this guy's never going to play. I saw him once in a preseason game. This was 2022 or 3. And it was a preseason game. Miami was playing Montreal. He made a terrible mistake in the game. And I remember Phil Neville came out in the media and afterwards and after the game said, you know, that's a terrible mistake. He can't do that. He's got to get a lot better if he's ever going to get minutes in this team. And to go from that to, you know, being a heroic figure for the club that any kind of diehard fan would remember. Yeah, I think he's probably right now the greatest figure in the history of the team, along with obviously all these big stars that are currently in the side.
Build him a statue then on the Wendy's right there on Commercial
Boulevard.
Probably a bit
much, but... Yeah. Have you seen pictures of the new stadium, by the way? It's really coming along.
It's gorgeous. I pass it every day driving into the studio.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Definitely
outside of Freedom Park. Let's get it done. Yes, statue, sir. Drake Callender.
Chris Whittingham, he's on the call for Bay FC hosting. I want to talk to you about Pulisic, but we're out of time. Maybe another time, Woody. He's on the call for Bay FC hosting Washington Spirit at Oracle Park Saturday in the NWSL. Watch his broadcast on CBS4 at 4 p.m. Also, you had texted me the opening Serie A game of the season.
Yeah.
That's this Sunday, Juve Parma at 2:45.
Correct, on Paramount Plus. Yeah, we have our full program of games in Serie A. The one we're calling though is Juventus Parma on Sunday. Got to get on the red eye back from San Francisco to call that one, but should be
a Parmesan.
One. Yeah, that, it is. It is the home of Parmesan cheese. That's correct.
Ah, who knew?
The people from Parma
love Parmesan cheese.
That makes sense.
Big Parmesan cheese fan.
Not a fan.
Same. I agree with Josh.
Awful take. Terrible to end it on that. Thank you very much, Woody. Appreciate you, man.
All right. See you guys.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.